Continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi, we're on the top, very top of page Samach Gimel, and that puts us in the middle of Os Ayin Ches. That's number 78. We discussed this idea of looking into the roots of a problem, and a lot of times you can't recognize the root of the problem that exists. Many times you only can recognize the superficial symptoms of the problem. That's the best way to describe this. These are symptoms. And the symptoms are apparent, while the root is much deeper. We have to get to that root, which is the root of the Jewish soul, that is rooted in Avram Avinu. How did Avram start in this spiritual business? He started with the Aleph Beis. There was nothing else but the Aleph Beis. And he came at 3 years old. He recognized there was a creator. Now, that wasn't the full and final understanding of what Hashem was. That would take much later in his life till he could come to that total understanding of who and what Hashem is. But at 3 years old, it was clearly that kind of a emunah pshuta, simple faith in God. So we continue right at the end of the top line on Samach Gimel. Yeah, yes, sir.
We understand how Abraham got that. I don't understand how he got it, but I know he did. How come the rest of the Jewish people, nobody else got that? How come only one out of...
Okay, first of all...
How
come only Avram and not anybody else? First of all, don't say the rest of the Jewish people. There were no Jewish people. Rest of humanity.
How was he?
Because, okay, so the answer was, he was the one who did not go with the flow.
Yeah, but what made them do that? Like, where did it come from?
You know, he had a special neshama, and, you know, it was his free will choice.
So you need that special neshama to get to that
state. No, but there are other special neshamas too. But, you know, everyone chooses to do, you know, a better thing. He chooses to do a better thing. Why did Adam choose to eat from the forbidden fruit and not to eat from the forbidden fruit? It was his choice. Even if we give reasons why. But at the end of the day, he chose one thing over another.
Adam didn't start the Jewish nation.
I understand. I'm just saying. So why he decided to think, and others didn't decide to think. Why did he decide to think? I can't tell you. He thought. The Rambam goes through that in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. He says he was thinking. He said, "How could this be? How could there be such a beautiful world without someone creating it?" He was a thinker. He didn't go with the flow. Most people. What? There was more than one. You had Shem, and you had Aver, and you had a few others, but they kept to themselves, and they didn't really care to influence the world. So he just trailblazed it on his own. Baruch Hashem, he did.
What? If he wouldn't have done it,
that would have been the end of the world. Exactly. That's why he's a great man. That's why he's a founding father. Exactly. But what he did wasn't such a difficult thing from an intellectual point of view. It was difficult to go against the crowd. That was the difficult part. But to think wasn't such a hard thing to do. Yeah?
Rabbi Klein, the Basemas, when Leif Lecha, when Hashem says Leif Lecha, this Basemas, Hashem is talking to everybody. Yeah, it wasn't so much that he was talking to Avram Avinu, he talked to everybody. What Avram chose to do was to open his heart and listen. Like, that's what made him unique. He opened his heart and
okay.
Listened to Hashem.
Okay.
It's
the same thing. Yeah, it's the same thing. Okay, fine. All right, let's begin. Top of the end of the first line on Samach Gimel. Bevarei shaderech shebo hisig Avram es emunah. Certainly, the way that Avram achieved his belief. Vaderech shebo anu nasig es emunah, and the way we understand our belief. Shonin lechalutin. They're totally different. Ours is much more sophisticated than his was. What do we mean? Because we already have all the traditions from our teachers. We have 4,000 years of history that has added to this concept of belief in Hashem. We have a holy Torah. What did Avram Avinu have when he started the game?
Nothing.
So whatever he developed was amazing, and it was great. And he eventually reached very high levels. But his starting point and our starting point, you can't compare. Ulam, but Hatzada Shavahu, there is a common denominator between us and Avram. Shalenu Lahashish Birkirbenu Hatev Es Yesoda Yesodas. we both had to and have to implant within ourselves very well the foundation of all foundations, which is Shu Emuna Amitis Bekel Chai, which is a true belief in the living God. That starting point, the simple belief. Everyone has that same starting point. And that's what we have to work on. Okay, now Ayin Tes gives us an example of what we said in Ayin Ches. How repairing one's belief in Hashem will make it easier. All our other efforts in other areas will become much easier when we do that. Anoshim l'mashal nichshalim b'lashon hara b'riyasur achadoyma. People, for example, they stumble in the areas of speaking lashon hara, looking at places and at people that one is not permitted to look at, or similarly. Umenasim lavod l'takin es apogamim halalu b'tzuris rabim, and they try to make effort to correct these particular flaws in particular ways. As we said, we make a big Lashon Hara campaign. We try different techniques to improve in our mitzvah observance, which is always a wonderful thing to do. However, yesh leda, you need to know, shesheresh kol hachatoim halolu, the root of all these sins, take all the sins and go to the root, hu choser b'muna chushis. It's because we lack belief that you can feel. If you believed in Hashem and you felt it, you mamish felt there's a God in this world, you wouldn't do these averes, as we said many times. Ulakach, therefore, shorish tikkun kol inyanim halalu. Therefore, the root of repairing all these things, einam rak bekabolus masios, kesed linik v'ayfenseh, v'kesed linik v'ayfenseh chadoyma. The solution in these areas of Lashon Hara, in these mitzvah observant areas, isn't by just making a Kabbalah, making an acceptance upon yourself. This is what I'm going to do now for the next 40 days. I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara for the next 40 days. I'm going to do this for the next 30 days. Whatever. And how to do this. That's not going to be the root of the repair. You will have to do it sooner or later. That is going to be part of the program, but that's the fourth floor, not the first floor. Ela ikar amaladam, but the main efforts of a person, latakein tchilas amunaso, is to repair first your belief in Hashem. Shetia emuna zaka ubehira. It should be an emuna that is clear, and pure. Vaz yikal alav harimot. Then it's going to be a lot easier for you. It's going to be a lot easier because then you're going to really understand why that's so, and you have much greater ability to succeed. Now plug in your program. Now plug in your program that I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara for 40 days. Because now you got the right motivation to get that done. Then you got the right steps. Then you'll be in a position where it's possible to contend with very well all the branches of sin and those things that come out of them. The rule is, to the extent that one's belief in God is alive and clear in your soul, Kenyazar Koach Vaomates Lamo Batura Hakdosh Aroy. To that extent you'll have the strength and the power to toil in the Torah properly and to do the mitzvahs that are given. Ulakaim is called Prativedikduke Hadin Kilchasam, and you'll fulfill all the details in Halach. So let's say, for example, let's take something that doesn't seem so hard. One should make brachas out loud. One should make brachas out loud, even if you're alone. You should make a bracha. The way I'm talking is the way you should make a bracha. Right? So a lot of people either A, don't make brachas, or they mumble the brachas, and they just don't. They don't do that. Right? That's a problem. It's a real problem. So you're gonna try to make. What are you gonna do about it? It could be a lot of issues. Number one. Why do you do that? Well, first of all, I don't really know if I'm going to be right when I make the correct bracha, and I'll be embarrassed if my kids hear me say the wrong bracha, and my kid in third grade is going to correct me, so I'd rather that I don't have to go through that embarrassment. So that's one thing. Number two, at kiddish, people are going to think I'm crazy, to do it, so I'll just do it quietly, because I don't want people to think I'm too frum now, I might lose some friends. I don't really know the brachas so well. My Hebrew is pretty lousy, and I'll look awkward saying the words, even though it's only 10 words to say, but whatever. So, okay, so then, so you might want to work on a tikkun to that. But that's not the real reason. The real reason is you don't feel Hashem. That's the real reason. You don't feel Hashem. If Mamish, can you imagine, if Hashem is sitting right across from you, and he's giving you the whole meal, you're not going to tell him, you're not going to say to him, thank you. You're not going to say to him, if Mamish Hashem is right, just right there. And Hashem shows you the energies that are putting the food right in front of you. And you're seeing the energy is coming right from him, coming right into the food, and energizing the food. And it's an amazing thing. You're just going to eat it right in front, and he gave it to you. He gave it. You're not going to say thank you. It's impossible. You're not knowing such a mechutzav. So you'll say it. And you're going to say it loud enough that he hears you say the thank you. Right? But we don't feel it. That's the problem. We don't feel it. If you felt it, it would be different. If your mamish felt that God was doing that, how am I going to feel it? Well, let's go back to the last chapter. Keep saying that you believe that there's a God. Make sure. Are we working on this by any chance? You know, I've been trying that a little bit. Right? You know, it's... Right? I told you. I put in my screensaver. I just put a Kirvas Elokim Litov. Now it's great. Like, on the computer, it's like... I see it maybe 15, 20 times a day. That's one thing. It's not everything, but that's one... You know, put it... You know, you should not really need to make stickers. Put it on the phone. Instead of Lashon Hara on the phone, put the Kirvas Elokim Litov on the phone. You know? And put stickers all over the house. We gotta go to an artist. Go to an artist and make a beautiful, beautiful picture where the words are embedded in the picture. Okay, we got a good project if anybody wants to do a big mitzvah. I don't know. I gotta think about it. I don't know. Beautiful. Could have a few of them. Could have four or five in the house. Could have a beautiful sunrise. Kirvas Elokim Litov. You know, I don't know what the Garden of Eden is. I couldn't make a picture of it. Could make a picture of your kids. Right. It could be a picture. You know, everyone has those cute things. They picture their kids and it's in some kind of a, you know, frame, whatever. So you have a thing at the bottom, you know, it says, you could have one of these Lucite stands, you know, where you have the full thing of the kids. And you just take a piece of paper even. Just insert it in front of the kid's picture at the bottom. Kirvas Elokim Litov. Keep it in the bit, whatever. I'm just saying. You have to have as much memory, reminders of it as possible. Because it's got to keep in front of you. It's no different than advertising. Right, Rafal? Right? You want people to know about a product? The subliminal messages and the not so subliminal messages. The frequency, both. There's subliminal messages too. And then there's frequency. The frequency, pound away at them, right? Pound away.
It's got to...
I know what.
One right here.
Tattoo. Okay, so, okay, listen, I only could teach the Torah. You guys got all the free time. You're right, show a picture of it. You know, I don't know, go to some Judaica store, see if they have such... Should have a whole Kirvas Elokim Litov project. That should be the project. That should be the project. You know, a bunch of different ways. My wife was telling me she can get done for us these pens. You know, these pens where you click them and there's a little message inside the pen. You click it, you get one message. Click it, get another message. Click it, get another message. I don't know if they'll do it in Hebrew. Or they could do it in English.
They also sell these staples. They sell
magnetized. Okay, magnetized, put it on the fridge. You know, you got to really like bombard yourself with it. It's not a joke. Are you not going to be able to do that? So now if you got that Kirvas Elokim Litov clear, then of course you're still going to have to do something about those brachos. You're still going to have to plug in a rule, whatever that is. You know, we're going to all make up. For example, if you're of that long lost breed, the dying breed that still eats dinner together as a family during the week. You know, if you are, you know, then you make up, you know, every, at least at dinner, everyone at the table says the brachas out loud. That's a strategy. Now that strategy, now that everybody is into Kirvas Elokim Litov, now you put in that strategy, the strategy will work. You won't feel queer doing it, and you will do it. You still will always need strategies. We're not saying forget about strategies, but now you got a base from which the strategies have strength to be able to accomplish the goal. And that's where all the projects, almost all the projects, with almost all people, fail. because you don't have kirvas elokim litov. That's going to be the next shul project we got to get into. We got to figure a way. Yes, Leonard. Yes, so I'm not, you're right. But I'm saying, so people who are prepared to do it, those are the ones you do it with. I'm sure everybody in this room would be okay with it, right?
Would you have a problem with it, Leonard? But not like you say, like every corner you turn around, you see it.
Would you have a problem with it, Leonard?
I don't have a problem with it, but I don't think I could handle it.
There's nothing to handle. You just let the message hit you.
But it's still.
Okay, so then we go back. We do it slowly, once an hour. Okay. Well, you got to work at it. So once an hour. I'm sure if it's on your screensaver, it wouldn't drive you nuts. So start with the screensaver. It took my son 1 minute to do it in my computer. I didn't know how to do it, but he got me to the right thing. And once I got the right thing, then put in the screensaver. Okay, that's this month on the screensaver. Next month, get a sticker in one place. Very good. That's right. The screensaver, you can time the frequencies. The screensaver can come on once an hour. It can come on every 3 minutes. Once you stop using it, and I have it on every 3 minutes. Every 3 minutes. So if I'm in the computer, I have to walk. If I go to the bathroom, by the time I'm back, the screensaver's on. And boom, I have to take a call. The screensaver's back on. So that's, for me, I'm comfortable with that. For others, maybe you're not comfortable with it. But you got to start. If you don't start, guys, this is not going to work. This plan is not going to work. You're going to be more. Huh? He didn't say he's doing it all in one shot. No. He's halfway through the book, eh? But he did say earlier, start with once an hour. He started once an hour, then once a quarter an hour, and when you're comfortable with once an hour, and then every minute. He's worked today. He's not saying you're going to get there tomorrow, but it has to be a real program. I don't know if there's any such, heritage, Chafetz Chaim heritage program like that. I really think that would be a very successful program if you could somehow implement it over a year's time. It's a whole curriculum of improvement in these areas. No. Going to Meir Shemit was going to make no difference. It's not going to make a difference, Leonard. Okay, Leonard, he wrote the book for people in Meir Shemit. For them. And he's telling them, start thinking of God. You could be a Meir Shemit, you get used to that. You get used to that life in a couple of weeks' time. It's very normal. People in Meir Shemit, guess what? Most people in Meir Shemit, they go to work. Believe it or not, they own a store. They're not sitting and learning Torah. I mean, a lot are. What? But
for a while,
till you get used to it, Leonard. Then you can get used to being everywhere. You say, "Oh, they're very religious. I have to be religious." But I don't know if you're thinking about God. I don't know if you're thinking about God. And there's not a lot of big posters about God in Meir Shemit either. I mean, I'm not saying it's not inspiring. Inspiring it is, but it won't, and it could light your fire a little bit. But still, it's not going to get you to think of Hashem often. It will wear off. It will wear off. And that's why you need to give for yourself what will make that difference. Shelley, yeah?
So, it all makes sense. I agree. But the example, to say to Brooke, a lot of kids, people think I'm crazy. Take another level. You're in a meeting. You have a drink of water. And you want to say Shabbat. And you say it out loud from a bunch of non-Jews.
That would be the biggest Kiddush Hashem you could do.
That's a different scenario.
So you'll say, pardon me. Shelley, do me a favor. Do it just once.
What I usually do is I take my water, I say my Shabbat Kol, then I go into the meeting.
So I would suggest you could do a big Tikkun Olam and a big Kiddush Hashem. You go, guys, do you mind if I thank God for this coffee? Just say, guys.
No, I don't do that.
Whatever.
Water, whatever it is.
Guys, do you mind if I bless God for this coffee? Do you mind? Certainly not. So do me a favor, when I say it and I finish, can you say Amen?
Non-Jews?
Yes. Why not?
Sure.
Why not? Say, can you do it? Just do it once. Just do it once. I know it's a scary thing. Do it once. I'm telling you, they're going to have a greater reverence for you. I'm telling you, you never know what's going to happen. Try it once. Try it once. Just once. Just once. Don't do it more than once. No, I'm saying do it once. You know. And you know, I'm gonna thank, you know, I want you to know, just to tell you something that, you know, as Jews, before we ever partake of food, we thank God for it. So it just so happens that we're having a lunch now, right? So I'm gonna make one blessing, and our religion says it's really important that people should respond and say amen to thank God for it. And just try, you'll be amazed what will happen. What?
I'll work on it.
just once, and you know what? I'll tell you what will happen. I guarantee you, if the people there, at least if they're mentioned, they're like decent people. I'm not talking about they're rabid anti-Semites, all right? Then like a week later, they say, you know, it was very nice you said that blessing. Can you do it again? They'll ask you to make the blessing. You'll see, they will do it. You're underestimating the power of the Jewish soul and its ability to influence. You could do it.
In the workplace.
Yeah. What?
You have to understand, in the workplace, it is a very. You can dress as you please for your religion, but when you start saying things and doing things with other people in the workplace, you're already crossing a line that could be considered. I wouldn't say harassment.
That's the pushing your religion.
But certainly consider violation of
right. So that's
policy.
Good. That's why you say, you preface, do you mind if I do it? If they say we mind, then you won't do it.
You whisper it.
Then, if I ask, do you mind if I do this? And you say, yes, I mind, and you don't do it, then everything's fine. You're allowed to ask. If you do without asking, that's not good. But you say, you know, I'm here. My religion requires me to make a blessing out loud. You know, if you don't mind, could I do it?
What about asking them to say amen? Now you're asking.
And then you say, and it's a very nice thing. Would you mind if you would say amen? If you mind, you don't have to say it. So it's how you say it. It's how you ask. It's how you. You
know, I can see the first part. Let me
ask you this. Let's say you're sitting. I don't know how it works. Do you ever have like business meetings with the over lunch? So like, how many people are in the room? I don't know.
Five.
So there's five guys there. And you got the boss is over there and a couple other workers over there, right? And none of them are Jewish, right? No. So now you sit down. Now before you sit down and meal, sometimes, let's say, does the boss say a joke?
Whatever, sometimes.
Or a kibitz?
Yeah, sometimes.
You know, it was a real great hockey game last night. Everybody see the hockey game? There must be some small talk going on, right? So he's allowed to say small talk, right? So you're allowed to say small talk, right? You know, the fact that people bring up topics you may not be interested, do they ever say, do you mind if I kibitz about the Maple Leafs? You know, people just do it, right? Because, you know, so you can, as it's settling in, right, you can just say, you know, my rabbi taught me today, you know, that it's a very important thing to bless God before you eat, you know, and it gives you, and tell them like this, and it gives you good luck. And it gives you good luck in your work.
I,
so do you mind if I make the blessing and you respond amen? If you mind, I won't do it. Like Mama said, I won't do it if you mind. You know, how long does it take? It only takes about 8 seconds. You have to tell them it only takes 8 seconds. They might think it's a half an hour. Say, the rabbi says, you know, we should make a blessing that takes about 7 to 8 seconds, and it really gives us blessings for the rest of the day. And you know what? Even the most secular person doesn't mind, just in case, to have God in your corner. Just in case. As long as you're asking nicely, and you're saying, and if you really don't want it, I'll say it very quietly to myself, and I won't disturb anybody. Just try it one time.
I can see doing the first half, but asking someone else to respond.
Just say, if you don't mind. If you don't mind.
Just
that's
start
all.
With that, at least, and the second time you say your mind.
Why is it important to have a non-Jew say? I mean, is that a part of?
Because they're still a human being, and they should recognize there's a God. Because every time you make a bracha, someone should say amen. The real halacha is.
But it's not if they're not Jewish.
I don't know about. I don't know if that's still not a benefit to them. It's a benefit for them. It's a pay. You never know what that will do to them.
But they have their own way of thanking God.
But they don't. They never do. That's a, you know, I'm telling you, Shelley, as a,
once on Thanksgiving.
Shelley, as a human, today's Thanksgiving, yeah? The real Thanksgiving is today. How come, you know what you can do today? Okay, I'm really super fast-tracking you here, Shelley.
It's all Thanksgiving in Canada.
But they know it. It's Thanksgiving. I'm sure they talk about it. I'm sure when you have to call clients.
Enjoy the quiet day.
Right? It's, you know, you say, you go like this. You know, my rabbi's an American, and he said today is Thanksgiving, and he started talking about how all around the world, Americans thank God for this and that. And he says he wonders why people don't thank God more often, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's a nice lead into this. And he said we should do this and this and this. Do you mind if for just 8 seconds I thank God for the food we have? And you could say, like this, do you mind? Like this, say, do you mind if I say, blessed are you, God, King of the universe, that everything exists by his will? Do you mind if I say that in Hebrew and you say, amen? So you've already said the bracha without them knowing it. You already said the bracha without them knowing it. You already did it, right? And if that's all, oh, thank you, God, King of the universe. And if they say, well, you know, frankly, I'm an atheist and I find it offensive, you know, then forget it, I won't do it. But some, as long as you say, do you mind? When people, what was the problem? People smoke. Do you mind if I smoke? And I say, yes. And then the person doesn't do it, that's fine. He's not asking me. You can ask anything you want at the workplace. And if everybody agrees, you're allowed to do it, right? You have not violated that code if you've asked.
How many people have to be there?
I would say, like this, Shelley. If you're already doing it, go for as many people as possible. I'm telling you, if you do it once in front of 10 people, then it won't be a problem.
So you should do it at the annual sales meeting in front of
300. No, that would be the second time. You know, a lot of times people, even in the Congress, before they start their day, they have a different priest or rabbi, says a convocation, whatever you call it. And it's more invocation for more than, it's more than 8 seconds. And they all know you gotta do that. They understand that. I mean, you could say, you know, I read this interesting article that, you know, I never realized in the, I don't know if they do this in the House of Commons, you know, but they do this invocation every time. It'd be nice if we have a meeting, we should have a brief invocation for just 8 seconds.
I make a shackle.
I was around a wine tour in Israel. Winery. I was wondering at the end, is wine tasting.
This was a Jewish tour?
Yeah, well, it was in Israel, right? So I was wondering what they were going to do when they served all the wine before everybody started tasting right. The wine. But the tour leader said, before we drink the wine, please allow me to say the blessing for on behalf of everybody. But that's in Israel. And you get a wine tasting tour.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know what? You'd be surprised, Shelley, what could happen. If I already can tell by what you're getting away with over there, that you get to go home early on Friday. You get to where you keep it, nobody hassled you, right? You grow your beard during Sphira, you know what?
That's the hardest.
But you're still doing it. So I'm saying, you'd be surprised, I'm telling you, how much you can accomplish. Okay, good, fine. No, more, if you get more screensavers, can you put the screensaver at work, Shelley?
You know what, I don't mind doing that, but I just find if I did every 3 minutes, I go crazy just...
It's not every 3 minutes, once an hour. Once an hour.
I'll get a link where to put it on.
Send me an email. So send me an email to remind me. Okay, Jeanette knows. All right, fine. Okay, good.
I should have mine right now.
I'm telling you, that's the start. And believe it or not, that'll be the way we'll all speak less Lashon Hara and be better in other mitzvahs too. Okay, now, finishing up Ayin Tes. V'chas v'shom la'epach, and God forbid the opposite. Kechol she'amuna ne'alemes yoser chas v'shom b'nefesh adam, to the degree that one's belief in God is hidden, the more it is hidden, God forbid, in the soul of man. Ken yikshalav amal ha'torah kedosha b'kdusha. So it will be much harder to make efforts in our holy Torah and to fulfill the details of mitzvahs out of a true fear. Again, even in the mitzvahs, even the details, like we make, let's say we're making brachas already, but probably in the details we're lacking. And when you say Baruch Ato Hashem, you have to have a certain kavana when you say the word Hashem. That's a detail. You have to think, you know, was, is, will always be. I mean, you got to really have more kavana. There's little details in so many things. You know, washing my macaronim, right? A lot of times people just don't do it. It's a detail. It's not a major thing. You don't do it, you're not a sinner per se, and that's not terrible. It's a detail. These little
mission.
I understand, but if you don't do it, you're not going to burn in hell for not doing it. That's what I'm saying. You should do it. You should do it. But if you're not, I mean, so. But those little details can kill you, right? There's little details. Make sure to put on tefillin absolutely correctly. Doing the aliyah correctly. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you that we need to make copies for here. You know, doing the aliyah really properly, the way we've been learning Sunday morning. Those little details. I just did it. It's okay. No, but it's those details that make the difference. So you need to have a fear of God to know about the details, right? You make a report for a company, there's somebody reviewing your report. The details are important. And we don't think Hashem is reviewing our actions. I just did it. It's okay. I did it. The details. So what? I made a little mistake. I made a mistake that renders the whole thing not kosher. You know, those are things that are important. And that's what he's saying. The more fear of God you have, the more you sense God's presence in this world, you'll do it. Yisken Hashem shisken kol echad ve'echad b'ibnei Yisrael l'zabemes. We should merit to achieve this goal. Okay. Hey, number 80. Now he's getting us, he's setting us up here to a beautiful concept. Pei, pei aleph, pei beis, gevaltik. It's beautiful stuff coming up here. Nenasa losei tzura masis keitzad lilmod es masa breishis betzura nechona. Let us begin to attempt in a practical way to teach you how to go through the narrative of Genesis in a way, in a proper way, thereby implanting and arousing within the soul of man simple and pure belief in God. But of course, before he does that, he has to give you an introduction, right? That's the way it is all the time. But the introduction is fascinating. Let's preface with a very brief but fundamental concept. Reishis first. Let's review and emphasize. We're not looking to find great novel insights here. All we want to do is to understand the verses in Genesis with the utmost depths of simplicity. Ksiv, but he goes somewhere else first. It says in the Torah, it will be when your child will ask you, what are all these commandments, and what are this and that? And that is the pasuk that tells us about the four sons and the questions that they ask at the Seder night. Mikan lamdu chazal, from this verse our rabbis taught us, chiyuv mitzvahs vihigadata lebincha b'leil Pesach. There's an obligation to relate the Exodus to your children on the night of Pesach. There's a special mitzvah to do that every Seder night. And the halacha says, so what happens? The youngest asks, and if there's a child, then the wife asks. And if the guy's alone, he asks himself. The Haggadah is, if you notice, question and answer. Manishtana Laila Zenz, question and answer. It would be great for a Shabbos Haggadah drush or Pesach drush. So what is it we're saying? So what's going on here? There's the father and the son, or the parent and the child. So what you think is, okay, the child asks, the father answers, and we have a beautiful experience. So he says, "V'chol adam yesh avu ben pinimi." Every individual has an internal father and an internal son, or you want to say mother, daughter, I don't care. Within you and I, there is a father and a son. What do we mean by father and son? The one who's teaching and the one who's learning. That's the only way we grow. There's a father and a son. There's a part of us that's asking the questions, and there's a part of us that better have the answers. Right? So what is that? Haseichel hu'av, the intellect is the father. Valev hu'abein, and the heart is the son. The child is the emotional one. The child is a bundle of energy, has lots of feelings. You know, teenagers, very emotional group, right, Martin? Very emotional group. The outfit I was going to wear to the party, it's rude. I have nothing to wear. I'm going to die. I'm going to kill myself. I can't show myself. Am I exaggerating, Martin?
It happens sometimes.
They get a little emotional, right? So a good parent will shoot a little intellect and say, dear, it's not what you look like that matters. That's just superficialities. For me, you're a designer label. You're a designer model all the time. You know, just as who you are, right?
You don't count.
Better than Armani or whoever these guys are, right? It's just you. You're a designer label from Hashem Yisbarach. It's like, oh, you know, whatever. And you make them feel better. You know, hopefully you inject a little seichel into these emotional kids, right? And so the truth of the matter is you don't have to look outside of yourself. We ourselves get very emotional. And we have to have within ourselves a parental figure and the child figure. Let's turn the page. Hare lanu, we have this idea. Shehaseichel ho'av, the intellect is the father. Ve'olav l'lamin is a ben. And it's upon him to teach the child, which is es halev, to teach the heart. So, in other words, the heart can go crazy without the proper guidance of the intellect. You know, we see an advertisement for something, and I have to have it. I have to have it. The heart's boom, boom. Have to have it, have to have it, have to have it. You know, you're ready calling up and you're gonna buy it. Problem is you can't afford it. Problem is you can't afford it. Buy this Remarkables 60-day plan and you will be a millionaire. For the low cost of $3,999, you know, it said, you know, you go to this seminar, you'll get rich quick. Yeah, get him up. You hope the intellect kicks in somewhere fast, right? You know, sometimes we see people do things and we say to them, either we say it to ourselves but don't say it to them directly, or we say it to them, what were you thinking when you did that? Like, what in the world were you thinking when you did that? Did you stop to think what you were doing? Well, you know, whatever it is. It happens all the time. You know, sometimes husbands are thinking, the wife brings something home, and he's saying, he doesn't say it to her. He said, what was she thinking when she did this? Like, is her life not busy enough? Like, and the wife sometimes thinks the same thing about the husband. The husband insults the wife. So what was he thinking to do that? What kind of jerk is he? Like, so often we say that. Either we think it or and you know what the answer was? They weren't thinking. That's all. They weren't thinking. They weren't feeling. And the heart, you know, can get lost. The heart doesn't think, and the heart will do stupid things based on where the emotion takes them. We bring in a guy who tells about a worthy cause for tzedakah. So you write a check for $1,000, and then you come home. You don't have the money to pay. You don't have money to pay the rent. What were you thinking? I wasn't thinking. It was emotion, right? And Rafal, that's also what the advertisers are trying to work on, right? This idea. I always have a rule that when I meet anybody, any kind of a sale or this, if the guy rushes me, my answer is automatically no. It's automatically no. If it's with a real estate agent or a this or a that, you know where they get it the worst for me. These guys come to your door, you know, to sell you energy. You have to do it now. I said, why do I have to do it now? Can't you give me the thing? Well, that's a way to deal. I say, get out of here. Like, if you're telling me I have to decide now, that means you don't want me to think. If you don't want me to think, you know what? I'm not good when I can't think that fast. Maybe others can, but I just can't. And that's the whole ploy. You know how much energy you're wasting every year? You're wasting at least up to $1,000 a year. Go with this plan, blah, 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 blah. You know? Why do you gotta do it right away? Because it's at the end of the month, and, you know, they're afraid the prices may go up, so you get a chance, you know? But you don't know. But all they know is, I know they're getting a commission when they sell it to me. And I know the guy's getting money. That's all he wants. So everything makes a lot of sense to him because he's had a lot of time to think about this, but not to me. It's a general rule in life. I tell my kids, no, don't ever do anything that someone is pushing you to do it quickly. Just forget it. Always say, you know what? Leave your thing here. I'll think about it and you can call me back tomorrow. You know? But by then they know you're going to have so many questions. Why should I do it with you? Maybe someone else. There's a place online I could check to compare rates. They don't want you to do any of that stuff, right? And it's that way in so many areas. And you have this in shul. You know, people say, Rabbi, let's do this right now. I say, hang on. Let's think about it, you know. No, we have to, I don't know. I have to think about it. There could be other things that will be impacted by doing that. So you gotta be, so the heart, the people do things, you know, especially in a shul. People get emotional. We gotta do this now. I said, let's think about it. Maybe it's not the best thing to, what do you mean? My heart says through it. It's gotta be the right thing. I mean, have you really thought this through? Let's talk about it. You try to do that. You try to do that. And then if you, and then you think it through and it makes sense, that's fine. But the opposite is true as well. I'm not trying to say forget about your heart. The heart's important too. You can't only do things from the intellect without using the heart, because then life can be very cold and very lifeless. You know, you think, and then when you've decided it's the right thing to do, then you get excited about it. I decided, you know, whatever. Shelley decided he's going to make the bracha work. Now he's got to get excited about it. He's got to get really excited. This is an amazing thing. I'm really pumped. Excitement that comes out of Seichel is a good, healthy excitement. It brings joie de vivre. I've decided that this is what we're going to do. We are going to do this. And now that I've decided it, I know it's going to sail. I know it's going to be good. I'm excited about it. I'm going to jump and run and really do it well. So you need to have the heart, but the heart never leads. Never leads. It's the intellect that leads, and then the heart is involved. That's why, you know, and if not that, if you just go with the intellect and you do the things but very coldly, it's a very sad thing. You know, that's why, for example, like homes without children can be very sad places. I'm not saying it is, but it can, because children come with a natural excitement. You know, you tell your kids, we're going to make Kiddush, and you get them excited about it. Oh, great, can I? And there's excitement. The little kids running out there, excitement. So it permeates the house. I'm not saying if you don't have little kids, you have a dull, terrible, boring house, but I'm saying it's much harder. You got to work harder. And if you have kids all over the place, there's an excitement that's there. So we've got to realize there's a father teaching a son.